Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you're listening to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it. You're going to have to step out of your comfort zone as often as possible so you can expand your abilities. Your game can't expand if you're not willing to step out of the comfort zone of what your game is already capable of. Game can't get any better if you only keep working on the stuff you're already good at.
Stayallday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
We all know that what we bring to the table in our mental game is just as important, if not more important, than what we bring to the table with our physical game. So what are the biggest mistakes that we all make on a consistent basis in the mental game that blocks us from reaching our success and holds us back from realizing our full potential? I went and created a free 4-part video series where I explain what those 4 biggest mental game mistakes are, why they happen, and how to fix them. Get the free 4-part video series right now at DreAllDay.com/MGM. That stands for Mental Game Mistakes. That's DreAllDay.com/MGM. Mic check 1, 2. You are now tuned in to the best show of the shows, where you learn the discipline of showing up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there even when the success you have expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all of this, that you get a huge dose of personal initiative. This is that go-getter energy. You ever felt that go-getter energy where you just go make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen? That's what I'm talking about. You're going to put all this together in one package. And what you get is the mindset, the method, the podcast, the book known as Work On Your Game. You don't have that book yet, go get it. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic is why you need to converse, interact with, engage with people who disagree with you. People who see things differently from you. People who do not hold the same opinions as you in a civil manner. I don't mean arguing with people in social media captions or comments. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about clapback culture. I'm talking about having civil conversations with people with whom you disagree. I thought of this topic because I was observing Mr. LeBron James. We all know LeBron James, right? Even if you're not a basketball fan, you know who he is. Great player. NBA champion. He's won some gold medals representing the United States in international competition. This guy is an idol to many people, many up-and-coming athletes, even people who don't play basketball. LeBron James has a hell of a lot of fans. LeBron James is a great basketball player. He has a TV show, his own TV show, called The Shop. I believe it's on HBO, one of those networks. So LeBron has his own show where he and one of his business partners, they sit and they invite a host of different people from hip-hop, from athletes, usually it's hip-hop or athletes who come sit in this makeshift barbershop that LeBron and his people have, and they have these conversations about things that are going on in business, in sports, and just in the culture in general. He invites these people, known people, sit and have conversations. I've seen Jamie Foxx on there. I saw Jon Stewart. I think Jon Stewart was the only white guy I've seen on there. Draymond Green, 2 Chainz was on there. Drake, I've seen Antonio Brown, Anthony Davis. Who else? I can't even remember the rest of the people, but you get the gist of it. You can Google it and find out more about the guests that have been on the show, but it's not really about the guests. And the show is a great idea. They sit and have conversations about serious topics. These people who we all know, and that usually if you're watching the show, you're probably a fan of at least a few of the people who are sitting there in the room. And I think it's a great idea for LeBron to put his show together, because we know that LeBron's all about, outside of basketball, expanding his brand and his business and making sure that we all know that he's, quote, more than an athlete, close quote, even though I don't think he needed to announce that to anybody, especially not on a damn T-shirt. But anyway, that's not the topic here today. What I found odd about this show, The Shop, is that, first of all, it's a barbershop. It's not odd that it's a barbershop, but this being a barbershop, I don't know how many people listening to this have been in a barbershop. And I'm talking about a black barbershop. OK, I'm not talking just any barbershop. No shots at anybody here who ain't black. But if you haven't been in a black barbershop, I want you to understand what it's usually like in a black barbershop. If your first experience of a black barbershop is watching LeBron's show, he's giving you a little bit twisted view of what it actually looks like. What it really is like in a black barbershop is that people ain't all agreeing on things. All right, actually, you'll never walk into a black barbershop and find everybody in there agreeing on a topic. Otherwise, it wouldn't even be a conversation. We don't always agree on shit in a barbershop. Actually, the barbershop is the best place to go to have civil, meaning respectful, but lively conversation, much of which will be argument and debate over a topic on which the people in the room disagree. If any of you ever saw Barbershop 2 by Ice Cube, the movie that he put together with Cedric the Entertainer, I remember Eve was acting in that movie. That's how a barbershop usually is. People are in there arguing about things. Somebody will make some point. Somebody disagrees. A person who's in there getting a haircut who doesn't know anybody, they jump into conversation. Then everybody's just in the conversation. If you've been to a black barbershop, you know that there are people who come into the barbershop and they're not even getting a haircut just so they can be part of the conversation, see what the argument is that day, and just go back and forth and have these conversations. Much of this conversation is, again, argument, disagreement. Everybody is not agreeing on the same topic. There is no unanimous opinion in a barbershop 98% of the time. LeBron James' TV show, his shop, there's no debate. There's no argument. Everybody agrees on everything. And it's basically what we would call an echo chamber, which means the shop, as far as content that's going to make people think, challenge people to maybe reconsider your opinions, your stances, your beliefs, as far as that goes, it makes this show, LeBron's show, The Shop, pretty worthless because it's not offering anything to make anybody think. Basically, it's echoing what LeBron and his friends already believe, because nobody's going to get on that show that's not his friend. And anybody who comes in there and says something he doesn't like, it'll just get edited out because it's his show. And nobody's challenging him. And if you're watching the show, that means you're probably already a fan and you already agree with the things that he says. So you're not learning anything. And if you disagree with him, you're not going to watch the show because he's not saying anything you agree with. And there's nobody there who's making any point that's anything close to what you feel. So I feel overall, as far as the actual value anybody's going to get out of the show, is not worth anything. Because, again, it's an echo chamber. And this topic that we're talking about here today is why you need to converse with people with whom you disagree. Now, I'm not saying that LeBron James is wrong for having this show where he and his friends talk about things that they agree on. Maybe he has plenty of conversations that fit the descriptions that I'm going to give you here in today's episode. And I haven't even gotten into my points, but I'm using his show as an example because he has this show out there and he has a lot of fans who are young, impressionable people. And they may have fallen into one of these echo chambers where all they're following, all they're listening to, all they're reading, all they're watching is people who feel the same way that they feel, or are feeding these impressionable people opinions, and these impressionable people are accepting these opinions and walking out in the world with these opinions, having no idea where they got the opinion from. And I find that problematic. As I said, the viewers are people who already agree, because you're not watching it if you don't agree with LeBron and company. And those who disagree ain't watching, because while the faces are changing, the opinions are never changing. Today's topic, as we get into our points here again, is why you need to have active conversation with people with whom you disagree. And when I say active conversation, that means number one point is respectful conversation, civil conversation. I mean, you're not yelling and screaming at people or demonizing people or calling people names or getting all emotional on the subject just because somebody sees something in a different way from you. But also, it doesn't necessarily have to be you face to face with another person talking to them. You can read a book that somebody wrote and they're talking about some stance on something that you have an opinion on, but their opinion is completely different. They see things completely different from you. They have a completely different take, a different angle, different perspective on a certain subject. And you can read that book, and in your mind, you're having a conversation with that person. Why do they feel this way? Without demonizing them, without throwing the book in the trash, read the whole book, read what they're saying, watch their video, listen to their podcast, read their blog post, subscribe to their email list, and find out why these people think how they think. This is what I mean when I say having an active conversation with people with whom you disagree, not confining yourself to only taking in information and conversations and opinions of people who disagree with everything that you're already saying. If you find yourself agreeing with everything you're hearing in media, that means you need to expand and diversify what you're listening to, what you're taking in. It's not them that's making the mistake, it's you, because there are plenty of diverse opinions out there that are different from whatever opinions you hold on myriad topics. So if you're not hearing those, it's because you're not paying attention to them. Let's get into our points here. Why you need to converse with people with whom you disagree. Point number one, you don't learn anything when everybody around you agrees with everything you say, do, and think. One of the biggest issues that we have in our society these days when it comes to interpersonal relationships is that we're all huddled up in these tribes of thought. We as a group, we like this one politician and this one who's similar and this one over there who has the same values. We feel this way about certain race relations and we're not listening to anybody who feels differently. We support this particular cause. I'm not saying it is wrong to support a person to feel a certain way about a certain topic or a certain current event or to support any cause that you feel like supporting as long as it's not hurting anybody else or impinging on anybody else's civil rights. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion and feeling how you feel about any particular subject. The issue is when you get into one of these tribes to say, this is how we feel about a certain thing, and we're definitely not feeling anything about anybody who disagrees with this. What happens is people close themselves off. They're not open to even hearing anything from somebody who's on the other side of a subject. If you happen to support this political party, you don't want to hear anything from anybody in the other political party. And if you do hear it from them, it's only so you can pick apart everything they say and use it against them so you can, slam dunk them conversationally. That's what I've seen a lot of. And maybe it's me. Maybe I'm paying attention to the wrong people. I'm not exempt from any of this. We feel protected and safe when we're inside our bubble, right? When we're with our tribes, we feel protected, we feel safe. But the thing is, you know what they say about comfort zones, right? The comfort zone is where you feel protected, is where you feel safe, is where you're comfortable already because you've been there, you've seen everything that's going on there, you know everything that's going to happen there. You can't grow if you always need to be protected and safe. You can't grow if you're just staying in your bubble, if you're only listening to things that you already know, if you're only hearing opinions that you already agree with, if you're only reinforcing beliefs that you already have and you're not challenging yourself and nobody's challenging you. Can stay in that comfort zone. You can feel great in the comfort zone. You'll have plenty of camaraderie and you'll have plenty of socializing to do in that bubble in which you decide to stay in. The problem is you can't grow. You can't expand. And this podcast here is not the barbershop. This podcast here is work on your game. And working on your game may require, actually, let me not say may, it will require that you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone as often as possible so you can expand your abilities. Your game can't expand if you're not willing to step out of the comfort zone of what your game is already capable of. Game can't get any better if you only keep working on the stuff you're already good at. I was training a player once. He was a really good outside shooter and he just wanted to work on the outside shot. Outside, that's all he wanted to do is outside shots. I said, hey, what about dribbling? What about taking the ball to the basket? What about playing against a player who's bigger than you, who's going to try to get physical with you? What about those things? And he kind of bristled at the suggestion because I knew it made him uncomfortable. I knew it would make him uncomfortable to work on those things because he wasn't very good at them. But he wanted to do the thing that he was already good at. He wanted to stay in the bubble. I mean, I eventually got through to him and we started working on some other things. But the point that I'm making here is this is the way a lot of people live their lives. They are great jump shooters and all they want to do is work on their jump shot every time they go to the court. Well, listen, how are you going to get better if you're already good at shooting? That's the only thing you do. You're not going to get any better. Now, you may become known as an amazing shooter, but if you want your game to expand, you want your possibilities and your opportunities to expand, you got to expand your abilities. When I was playing ball, even coming up, a great example would be myself. I used to stand in the corner. Whenever I would play pickup 5-on-5, I would just stand in the corners on offense. And if somebody passed me the ball, I would shoot it from there. And I was pretty good at that. I became known. I developed a reputation as somebody who was a great spot up outside shooter. The problems were, as far as my growth in basketball, I couldn't dribble. I could not take the ball to the basket. I wasn't a good finisher in the paint. I didn't grab any rebounds. I wasn't a good defender. I had no impact on the game whatsoever, other than catching and shooting out of the corners for a three-pointer. That's the only thing I did. When I decided that I wanted to get better at basketball, I realized, this is a conversation I had with myself, I had to expand my game, which means I'm going to have to get a little bit uncomfortable. I'm going to have to make some mistakes in working on my dribble and driving to the basket and learning how to finish above the rim and playing defense and grabbing rebounds and doing other things besides just standing in the corner and shooting. I had to expand my game. Just like we talked about in yesterday's episode, I made some mistakes along the way of doing that, but I had to be willing to step outside of that comfort zone in order to expand. And this podcast, again, is called Work on Your Game. It's about taking your game to a higher level than where you're already at. If you're good with the level that you're already at, you are listening to the wrong show. Point number two, today's topic is why you need to converse with people with whom you disagree. For any level of growth, as I just talked about, you got to step outside of what you've been thinking and believing. Really here, we're talking about opinions, beliefs, and thought in today's episode specifically, as I was looking at LeBron's show and listening to these people spew the same opinions, the same beliefs, the same thoughts, just with different faces every single episode. If anybody's going to grow, you got to step outside of listening to the same stuff over and over again, reinforcing the same thoughts and the same beliefs. At least be open to hearing someone who sees things differently from you and be willing, this is also a major point of this, be willing to change your stance, change your opinion, if and when you have new information. I want to repeat what I just said, because a lot of people seem to miss this one. They live their whole lives missing this point right here. Be open to hearing someone who sees things differently from you, and be willing to change your stance, your opinion, if and when you obtain information that is different from what you had before. When you get new information, your opinions should change. Episode number 734. Number 734, I talked about keeping your opinions flexible. That was the exact topic of what I just said a sentence ago. That was the exact topic of episode 734. So go listen to it at drealday.com/734. Keeping your opinions flexible means when you get new information, your opinions should change. If you didn't know something last year that you know now, you shouldn't have all the exact same opinions. You got new information. You just let the information go in one ear and out the other. You listen to the wrong show. Many people lack the ability to keep their opinions flexible, even when their opinion is not their own. They have an opinion that was given to them and was planted in them. It was seeded in them by a parent or by a religious leader or by a grandparent or some respected adult when they were growing up or some famous person that they follow on Instagram or Twitter. And the recipient of this opinion, the recipient of this belief, never even considered where that opinion came from. They just adopted it, and they will even defend this opinion. They'll defend this belief while completely unable to explain where it came from, why they believe it, and what exactly they're standing on. I see this far too often, especially with our young people, our next generation, our Gen Zers who are coming up now, because you have everybody's allowed to spew their opinion, as I'm doing right now. Everybody's allowed to share their opinion, their stance, their beliefs, what they think about this thing that's going on, what they think about that thing that's going on. And then people just fall in line, especially when you're a fan of somebody outside of their opinions. You're a fan of them because of the music that they make or the way that they play a sport or the way that they look or something about them made you a fan. You want to be aligned with that person, right? You want to be step for step with that person because you like them. You're a fan of what they do. So then they offer an opinion. They offer a belief, which may be well thought out and it may not be. You haven't thought about it at all. You just know I'm a fan of this person. They said this, you know what? I'm going to go along with that because I'm a fan of them. You're not doing anything wrong. What I'm doing here is pointing out to you how some people come to form their opinions, unknowing that they haven't even considered where that opinion came from. And it may take them a long time, if ever, before they ever step back and say, you know what? Where did I get this opinion from? Why do I even believe this? Does this even make sense for me, given the information that I have? Understand that that person that you like, that person you're a fan of their work or whatever it is that they produce, their opinions come from a whole different set of information than your opinions. Their opinions may come from no information whatsoever. Maybe they're doing it because they have other interests they wish to protect that have nothing to do with you, have nothing to do with the performance that they put out there that made you a fan in the first place. That's why you must be smart enough to evaluate your own opinions, evaluate your own beliefs. Where did this come from? Where did I get this from? Did somebody tell me this? Or is this something I actually came up with from my own experience, my own thinking, the things that I've taken in myself? This is a question you have to be disciplined enough to ask yourself. Nobody else can really force this one on you, because if someone comes to you asking you something like that, like, hey, where'd you get your opinion? Did you come up with that on your own? Or are you just saying what XYZ said or what this person over here said? Of course, you're going to get defensive if somebody says that to you, right? So that's why you have to be disciplined enough and confident enough in yourself to say, you know what, let me examine that, and confident enough, disciplined enough, mature enough to say, you know what, I think differently now because I have new information. Because I realized where I got that opinion from. I realized that that wasn't really what I believed. It was just something that I heard and I went along with it because, listen, I was young and stupid yesterday, but I'm smarter now. You hear me talk about the mental game tools, discipline, confidence, mental toughness, and personal initiative every single episode of this podcast. But what's the actual roadmap to developing these tools and actually applying them to your life in a systematic way that they stick and they become real for you? Not just something that you heard, not just something that hypes you up, but something that becomes part of who you are. What's the roadmap to actually doing that? I created that blueprint, and it's my flagship course called Bulletproof Mindset. Bulletproof Mindset covers those four tenets of the mental game: discipline, confidence, mental toughness, and personal initiative. And not only how they apply to you, but how you're going to apply them in your life and your interactions with other people, and how to deal with the assaults on your mental game, the attacks on your mental game that come from the outside, of course, and the most insidious attacks on your mental game, the ones that come from within. Go to dreallday.com/bulletproof to get more information, full details, and get started on the Bulletproof Mindset course. That's at dreallday.com/bulletproof for the Bulletproof Mindset course. Now let's get back to the program. Point number three. Today's topic is why you need to converse with people with whom you disagree, people who have a different opinion from yours. In episode number 1030, we've been doing this a long time. Episode number 1030, I told you why you need to be challenged, why you need people who will question you, who will push you, who will not allow you to get away with the bullshit, who will just push back on anything that you're doing and force you to maybe take it to another level. Why you need these people around, and how a lot of people aren't willing to have these people around because they want things to be a little bit easier. But you who's listening to this, you need these people around. And if you go back and listen to episode number 1030, you'll understand the full context of why I said that. But this is where, when you get challenged, when you're conversing with someone who doesn't think the way that you think, who doesn't have the same beliefs, someone who has a completely opposite opinion from you, this is where you find out just how good you really are. See, when you converse with someone who disagrees with you, and you two can converse in a civil way, you're going to learn some things. You're going to learn some things like, how much do you actually know about what you claim to believe? Why do you actually believe it? Where did your opinion come from? Maybe, just maybe, that other person you're talking to, maybe you two have some things in common that you can actually agree on, even though you're staunchly opposed in a particular opinion. See, when you go and have a conversation with someone who does not agree with you, you're going to find out if you're mature enough to even have that conversation, because not everybody is. And when I say mature, that has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with a number, because there are plenty of people. I'm 37 years old. There are plenty of people my age and older who, as soon as they hear an opinion with which they disagree, they fly off the handle emotionally and attack and demean and stop listening. They hear, but they don't listen because they can't handle a dissenting opinion. It breaks their brain to hear someone have an opinion that is different from theirs. There are many people out there, before I even get into that, you think about playing sports, right? I get athletes who come to me often. They'll say things like this: Dre, I work on my game and practice all the time, and I feel like I'm pretty good. I might not be the best in the world, but I'm pretty good. And then I play ball against my friends, or I play ball against people who I see every day, and I'm comfortable playing against them, and I play at a certain level. But then I go play against people who I don't know, people who don't know me, at a park that I've never been to, in a gym that I've never played in front of fans who have never seen or heard of me before, and my whole game falls apart. I don't play as well when I'm playing in these foreign territories against these foreign opponents as I do when I'm playing in familiar territory against familiar opponents. Do you see the parallel of what I'm giving you here? Right, let me spell it out for you if you didn't catch it. See, when you play sports, you play well when you're playing against people you're comfortable with. When you're around opinions and beliefs and ideas that are similar to yours, you're at a certain level. But see, when you get around opinions, beliefs, and ideas that are not yours, and you get challenged by those people who are not your friend, who don't care about your well-being, who don't care about your mental well-being, how you feel mindset-wise, your confidence, none of that. They just want to completely destroy you in every way, shape, and form. You find out how good you really are. See, everybody's a certain level of good when you're comfortable. That level of good changes when you're uncomfortable, when you're put in an uncomfortable situation, because you could be in an uncomfortable situation to be comfortable with it. As the saying goes, get comfortable being uncomfortable. That's because you keep putting yourself in a line of fire. You only get to that level when you put yourself in a line of fire over and over and over and over again. The challenge for all of us is that often when we're left to our own devices, we do not push ourselves to get uncomfortable consistently. We can do it every now and then with ourselves, but when it's just us ourselves left to ourselves, we usually, for the most part, don't do it. And we can become very good, but we can't become amazing. We can't become excellent. We can't become outstanding if we don't push ourselves into that level of discomfort often, consistently, to where we get comfortable being uncomfortable. Same way that it works in sports, it works in life. When you have those conversations with people who don't have an opinion like yours, because you're going to be challenged in those situations, right? You're going to find out, how much do you actually know about this opinion of yours? How much do you actually know? How many arguments do you have to back up your opinion? You might find that you don't have too many. You might find you don't have any. Why do you actually believe what you believe? You might find out that you don't even know why you believe it, but they're going to ask you, and they're going to demand an answer, and when you can't answer, it's going to be uncomfortable for you. Where'd your opinion come from? You may not want to give that answer when you actually realize where it came from. Maybe, just maybe, you and the other person actually have some things in common, many things in common, on which you can agree, but you've been conditioned and trained to just disagree outright with anything that this person says or represents just because. Where'd that come from? Who taught you that? Did you pick that up on your own? These questions may be uncomfortable for you. Question then is, are you mature enough to even have such a conversation with another person and or to have this conversation with yourself? And maturity, again, is not about age. It's about your ability to have an uncomfortable conversation with yourself and or with another person. Many people out there who have their own TV shows, whether it's LeBron James, Oprah Winfrey, whoever, they're not always going to have. And again, I want to make clear, this episode is not a condemnation of LeBron James. They're not going to have people on their show who disagree with them because they run the risk of not looking like a hero or a genius on their own TV show. I mean, who wants to have somebody come on their show and make them look bad? Not too many people. Ain't too many people who are going to, I'm going to have a show with my name on it and my face on it. Everybody knows it's mine. And then I'm going to bring somebody on here who might make me look bad and question me. And I don't have answers for those questions. Many people would rather stay away from that. All right. And just keep, you know, quote unquote, building their brand. On that note, there's a guy I got to give credit to. There's a guy, I don't even know if he even has a TV show anymore. I haven't heard his name too often in the last few years, but maybe he's still around, but there's so much media out there. Doesn't mean he's not doing his thing. There's so much media out there. His name is Bill O'Reilly. I think everybody knows who Bill O'Reilly is. He was very prominent in the Obama days. He had a lot to say, even way before that. He's long been looked at, or at least he was, long looked at as a guy who was against hip-hop culture, urban black culture, young black people. He often had some negative things to say. I heard him say some things about 50 Cent, heard him say stuff about Ludacris. He tried to get rappers to lose their endorsement deals because he would bring up lyrics from their songs and then hold it against the corporations and try to break up those partnerships. And he did so successfully a couple times. He's long been looked at as this guy who's just against urban black culture. But this is what I want to say about Bill O'Reilly. Now that I've just explained to you what I know about him, or one thing that I know about him, Bill O'Reilly has always been willing to have people on his show with whom he disagreed. And he would engage with those people for everybody to see. Now, I'm not saying Bill O'Reilly is an angel, because often he would shout people down. He would talk over top of people. He would interrupt them when they were speaking if he didn't agree with their point. But at least he had them on the show. At least he did that. As far as I could tell, he wasn't editing the interviews. Whenever they would come on, whatever argument they had, they would argue, they would yell at each other, they would shout at each other, they would dismiss each other. But Bill O'Reilly would invite them to the show. He would have them sit there right at his desk, and he would engage with these people who did not think the same way that he thought. And he would go back and forth with them right there on TV in front of everybody. He once had Dame Dash on there. Now, that interview is on YouTube. You go look it up, Dame and Dash on the Bill O'Reilly show. And Bill's had many people, and they're not all black people who he's disagreed with. I remember Phil Donahue was on his show going back and forth with Bill. And it would be very entertaining that these people who disagree would have this show. And we don't see too much of this these days. I mean, the closest that I know of, and I may be out of touch with what's going on in the TV culture. I don't even own a TV. But closest that I see is the First Take. What's the one on Fox with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp? I forget, Undisputed. Shows like that where it's kind of like these made up debates, like there's quote unquote debating, but not really. They're not really debating. They make up these, the producers giving them points to argue about, and each guy's got to pick a side, and then they argue about it for 3 hours on TV, and then people watch it, and then they argue about it. These whole made up things. I'm talking about people who actually really disagree. Bill O'Reilly would have those people on his show. That's one way that I got to give Bill O'Reilly credit. I don't know anything else about the guy, but I had to point that out. I respect that. He was mature enough to risk looking bad on his own show. And there were a few times where somebody got the better of him and he did kind of look bad on his show, at least according to people who didn't really like Bill O'Reilly. But they would watch just to see if he would, quote unquote, lose the debate. And there are people on the Bill O'Reilly side who would say he won the debate. But at least he was willing to have the conversation. Mr. LeBron, I would love to see him have that conversation with somebody who doesn't feel the same way that he feels, doesn't hold his same opinions. I can't say that for a lot of people with TV shows. I'm using LeBron as an example, but there's a lot of people with their own shows, their own platforms, their own fill in the blank, who just would not have that conversation because I think they may be a little bit wary of how it would sound or how it would look if they get questioned and they don't really have a smooth, polished answer. I once thought that, you know, maybe on this podcast, I could have somebody on here who doesn't agree with my opinion and we could just have a conversation there. But I've really been struggling to think. It's not like I come out with these extreme positions on any certain topic. So I don't know if it will work here, but I would love to have conversations. Like, I like having those kind of conversations. If you ask someone who knows me, I like having these kind of conversations where we don't agree on something and we go back and forth. I make my point. You make your point. You support yours. I support mine. I ask you questions. You ask me questions. And it's just a civil conversation. You can call it an argument. You can call it a debate. Nobody's being disrespectful. Nobody is being attacked. It's just a conversation. I, for one, like those kind of conversations. Not everybody is built for those. Maybe LeBron is not. Maybe he is. We don't know. But from what I've seen on his show, he's not showing it to us. And that's what led me to creating this episode. Let's recap today's topic, which is why you need to converse with people with whom you disagree. Point number one. You don't learn anything when everyone around you agrees with everything that you say, do, and think. It's one of the biggest issues that we have today is that we get into these bubbles, these tribes of people who think the same way as us, and we created tribes as humans because it kept us safe. But the thing is, you know about comfort zones, and a comfort zone is safe. The comfort zone is protected. And if you stay in your comfort zone, you can never grow. If you stay safe and you stay protected, you cannot grow. Point number two, for growth, you got to step outside of what you've already been thinking and believing. I'm talking here mentally when it comes to your opinions and your belief. You got to step outside of them to grow, to expand. You got to take in some new information. Maybe open yourself to the possibility that you will change your opinion. Change your opinion when you get new information. If you have information that is newer to you this year than what you had last year, then you should have some new opinions this year as opposed to your opinions from last year. If you still got the same opinions with new information, you're making a mistake. And you need to analyze yourself and figure out what you're not paying attention to. And point number three, episode number 1030, I told you about why you need to be challenged. And this is where, when you get challenged by somebody who has a different opinion from yours, you're going to find out just how good you really are. The same way the basketball player who leaves your home court, place you're used to playing, and you get challenged by some players who don't care about you and don't know you, and they're not your friends, they don't need to be invited to your birthday party, you're going to find out how good you really are. How much do you actually know about what you believe? Why do you actually believe it? Where'd your opinion come from? Maybe you and the other person have some things in common. Are you mature enough to even have a conversation like that? Are you mature enough to even be open to such a conversation? And maturity, again, is not about how old you are. It's just about your mentally, where are you? Are you willing to even open yourself up to the possibility that you might look bad in that road basketball game? Or are you going to stay on your home court and just play there because you know you could be a star? Many people who have a platform on which they would have a conversation with someone who disagrees with them, they're not going to do it because they run the risk of making themselves look bad in front of their fans, in front of their audience. And I understand, listen, everybody's brand conscious these days. And on that note, I had to give credit, as I said, to Bill O'Reilly. He's a guy who would have somebody on his show he disagreed with. Now, he would shout the guy down and dismiss them and talk shit about him after the person left the show. He would do all those things. I want to be clear, but he at least had him on the show. I would love to see LeBron have some three people on the show who disagree with him and three people who agree, and let it be an actual barbershop conversation. Because that's how it actually goes in a barbershop. All right, it ain't a whole bunch of people agreeing in a big echo chamber. And that's what we got in our world these days. A whole lot of echoing going on from the same people with the same opinions. If you want to expand yourself mentally, you got to be challenged with some thoughts that are not similar to what you already think. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. Discipline. Your decision to show up day after day to do the work and get the job done. That's the hallmark of being a professional. What if you're not quite a professional because you haven't mastered this skill of showing up every single day yet? What if you're being paid like a professional, but you haven't been quite delivering like a professional, and you want to sharpen that up? You want to tighten your game up when it comes to discipline. I created a roadmap for you to develop your discipline that's only going to take you 30 days to get there. It's called 30 Days to Discipline, and it is, of course, a 30-day course that takes you step by step through discipline, why it matters, why most of us run away from it, shy away from it, and don't apply it even when we know exactly what it is, and how to fix those problems and start applying discipline in your life on a consistent basis so that you're showing up every single time, doing the job every time, performing every time, and producing results every time. That's when you become a professional. Get full details and get started on the course at DreAllDay.com/30. That's the number 30 for 30 days to discipline. That's DreAllDay.com/30 for 30 days to discipline. Anything you start, you have to finish. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. Anything you begin, you have to see it all the way through to the end. You've been taught this your entire life. I was taught it my whole life. But you know what? I disagree with these principles. There are times in life when it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense to quit, to walk away. I created a free guide that you can download right now that tells you when is it time to quit in life. And yes, there is a time to quit. Get the free PDF guide right now at dreallday.com/quit. That's dreallday.com/quit for the free PDF guide. When is it time to quit? And yes, there is a time. That's at dreallday.com/quit. You just listened to an entire episode of my podcast. If you've been getting value from this podcast, the 1,000+ episodes that I've been putting out, or this is just your first one, please go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review of my show. It helps me out. It helps the audience out so they know what kind of show this is before they listen to it, if they want to kind of get a taste for it before they commit to listening. And it lets me know that I'm giving value to you every single day on this podcast. So anywhere you can leave a review, please go leave a review. Thank you. I appreciate it a lot. I'll see you in tomorrow's episode. Work on your game.